Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with your host, psychologist, and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson, and Luann Crane. And Luann, today we're concluding our discussion on the highs and lows of unemployment and how its effects can absolutely ravage a family financially.
And we've actually heard a couple of stories. 2 days ago, we spoke with Beau and Patty Henderson. They've been happily married for 31 years, have 6 kids, and we're pleased to say that Beau now works here at Family Talk with us. But before Beau arrived here, he was actually unemployed for nearly 2 years. Fortunately for them, his wife had a job during that time, and they never missed a house payment.
Wow. Yesterday, we also spoke with Lee and Jen Darnold. They've been married for 14 years and have 2 young sons. And after a 3-year bout of unemployment, Lee received a job and currently works as the chief marketing officer for home building. And Jen works as a part-time CPA. So today, we have both couples back again for one more day's worth of discussion.
And I'm excited for this portion of the conversation, Ryan, because the past few days we've really heard about the sting and the hurt of this season of life. But today, both of these couples are going to offer some key ideas so that families can move forward. So let's dive right back into it. Here now is our host, Dr. James Dobson.
Well, Ryan, I'm going to start by throwing a question your direction, because as we sat around the table here talking about the experiences of these two couples in going through a financial difficulty and unemployment and all the things that it represents, and you turned to them before the microphones were turned on and asked them an important question that was based on the experience of a friend of yours. Express that very quickly again.
Well, I think for husbands, what it's like to have a wife who's beaten up on you. Laura didn't, and Patty and Jen, you also didn't, but we had friends go through this, and my buddy's wife beat up on him all the time. And I mean, just every day beat him down, so he already feels bad. And she'd say things.
Explain what you mean by that. What does it mean to be beaten up or beaten down?
Just to say, you got to go get a job, get anything. I mean, I know you want a job that goes in your career path, and I know you want a new career, but go get a job at Starbucks. You could do that. I mean, you could get a job at McDonald's. And it really caused a big wedge in their marriage for a time, where she was scared and she was nervous and took it out on him, and I worried about the stability of their marriage for a while.
Now, you can understand why she was agitated. They probably had kids and financial problems, and the bills are coming, and the phone is ringing, and she's saying, do something, do something, but it didn't help.
No.
That's the question.
Yeah.
What do you do as a wife when you see things going from bad to worst?
I think for us, at first, I can relate to that, because I did some things I wasn't very proud of. And in my need to want to control things, I would check our sent box in the email and see which emails actually went out that day. And I think that came from just my fear of the unknown, and insecurity was so important to me, and it was God. And
It was to see if he was doing something.
Yeah, if he was, if we were making any progress.
Is he just watching television, or is he trying to fix this thing?
Exactly. And after a couple of months of doing that, I really felt convicted that it was not worth the destruction it would do to our marriage for him to do his search my way. And I really, God had to work with me to back off and not try to control his every move in
the
search.
Was that very, very hard to do?
You know what? When faced with, do I hurt my marriage or not, it was clear that it wasn't helpful to him, and God gave me some ideas on ways I could be helpful instead, it wasn't too hard at that point.
But Jen, what about the wife who says, yeah, but my husband seriously has not sent anything.
Right.
And he is sitting on the couch, and they feel that there is some things they could be doing.
Yes. And there's women I've come across where their husband's maybe playing video games or isn't making any phone calls. And I would feel for those women and try to encourage them to come up with things to ask their husband in the true spirit of helping, not the type of helping I was trying to do that wasn't helpful, but to ask, honey, is there anything on your plate this week that I could help with? Do you need letters mailed out or something typed up for a recruiter? And the second thing that I would often encourage them to do is just ask their husband how they can pray for them, because that often would open up a window into what was going on, and they could have a dialogue sometimes after that, because it's hard if they weren't communicating about what was going
Lee,
on.
Lee, were you sensitive to what she was saying to you in the dark days?
I will tell you that it did hurt, because I knew her intent was wonderful. She was just, a lot of times it's just a curiosity. It wasn't that she was thinking I wasn't working, but she had a need to see that we were moving forward and progressing. So the first thing I would say to some of the people that I talked to that were husbands was, your job is to get a job, and you need to be a great husband, and you need to be a great father, but you also need to act as if getting a job is a full-time job. It's 40 to 60 hours a week that you're putting into doing this. But when she did that with me, I really did see that she had a need for communication. And so while I got frustrated by it, what it told me was that at the end of the day, as a good husband, I owed her some communication on where we were headed. And it was better to be proactive.
That's good. So this advice has two sides to it. The one is, as a woman, you have to understand that casual comments and the way you act has a whole lot to do with how well he deals with the stresses that are in his life. But from the other point of view, Lee, as a man, you really do need to tell your wife, let me tell you what my plan is here. Mm-hmm. So far it hadn't worked, but I'm doing what I can, and I'm going to, because my obligation to support you and the kids is above everything else other than the spiritual dimension, right?
That's absolutely right. Don't let your pride get in the way. If you want to provide for your spouse, provide her the emotional communication, mm-hmm. those things that you can.
Can I just mention here, if I'm not mistaken, how long were you married, Lee and Jen, before this happened?
About
10 years. And Bo and Patty, you mentioned 2 days ago that those first 10 years of your marriage were kind of rough. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating to me that both of you, at about that first decade, you had some choices to make. Am I going to stick with this and keep going or not? Mm-hmm. And you all made that decision. But I'm looking at you, Bo and Patty. You've been married 31 years now. And I just want to reach through these microphones and just encourage that person that's at the 8, 9, 10-year mark, hang with it.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. the marriage you two have now is beautiful and precious, and you had some choices to make.
We did. We did. Perseverance, I think, is key. You got to continue to run the race. And it's in and through that that your faith will increase.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's better now.
You'll learn to know.
Yeah.
And really trust
yeah.
that God is there and He will help you.
Yeah,
I want to encourage the newly married couples.
Yeah.
You know, when Laura met me, I felt like a rock star. I'm flying all over the country. I was flying all over the world. And we're able to go out and to go to fancy places. And it
you
was,
were speaking at...
yeah, I was writing books and I'm speaking at events all over the world and, you know, big festivals with thousands of people. She'd come and see me. And 8 months into marriage, I'm not making any money. And that's it. I wasn't making any money. And I felt like, in a way, she never said this and never implied it, but that I gave her a false sense of reality when she met me. Like, oh, look how great this is going to be. And then all of a sudden, this is not what you married. And I felt so guilty and ashamed that I couldn't do that because I had kind of established this lifestyle and it was tough. So I just wanted the people that are married in the early times, at some point, if you stick with it mm-hmm. and you stick with your spouse, you can look back on it and say, look what we did. And, you know, Patty and Bo, you've talked about that. The first decade was tough. Mm-hmm. And now when you go through hard times again, you have that history to look back mm-hmm. on and go, we can do it.
Yeah, if we got through that, we can get through this.
Right.
And I got to tell wives out there, when it's scary and when there's anxiety, if you can support that guy, he'll become more than he ever dreamed possible.
And yet it's so complicated, Ryan, because so many times that wife is the one that has to go out and work. I mean, yeah, Jen, right. you mentioned this. Patty, you're working full time.
Right.
So you're out there in that breadwinner position, but then you still have to maintain the peace in the home. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think it was hard just for our marriage. This job search is something that you can focus on 24/7. There's always something to talk about or try to strategize about. And Lee came to me one night and he said, Jen, I feel like we've turned into just roommates. And at first, I was a little defensive when I heard that. But then when I thought about it, I was like, he's right. We're not, date nights were gone. We didn't have money to go out and do stuff. And after that comment and we talked about it, we realized how intentional we needed to be about taking a break from the search. Mm-hmm. And something we started doing, we borrowed this idea from a friend. We started doing at-home date nights. And one night a week, we would put the kids to bed early, and that would be our night where I couldn't be doing laundry or chores. He couldn't be on the computer searching. And we would get cheap takeout food or eat food at home and watch TV and talk and just not focus on the search. And that was so good for our marriage to have that break from all the stress that was bearing down on us.
Mm. Jen, you brought a list with you today that represents, I think, 10 things that a wife can do when her husband is unemployed.
Yes, and I developed this list over time, over the course of our job storm, lots of times by doing things the wrong way. And I saw what things helped and what things didn't help. But I can run through this quickly. The first one was pray for him. And I think sometimes that was one of the few things I did have control over, that I could lift up our needs to God and ask him how to pray for him. And
this is apart from your prayer together.
Yes, that it is something I could do for him. The second was encourage him. And I think that a husband needs a cheerleader when times are good, but when they're walking through such an awful, hard time, that he needs that cheerleader even more. And I had to go back to some of the things I did when we were dating, when I was a student of Lee. And I learned what he liked and didn't like. And he loves Diet Cokes from the convenience store. And so one day after dropping off the boys, I went and got a 99-cent Coke. And I came home and with the red marker put a heart and said, I love you. I'm proud of you. And he sipped on that all day as he was at the computer trying to work out his job mess. But it lifted his spirits that day to have
that
99-cent Coke. The next one was have an extra measure of patience just when they are in such a raw emotional state, just remembering and asking God. There were times where I had no more patience and I had to ask God to help me with the supply of patience that I didn't have. The next was choose words wisely. I had to learn to start. I started applying the fruit of the Spirit as a filter for my words. And I would, before I would speak, would pause to see if my words matched up to one of those qualities. I think we mentioned before about making times for date nights and fun.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very important. Number six,
you don't have to spend money to do it.
You don't have
that.
To.
That's right.
Taking a walk together. There's so many things you can do, but it's being intentional to make the time to do those. Number
I like
six,
what you said about that one, where you didn't focus on the search. You didn't talk about the job.
Business.
You didn't talk about the bills. You specifically didn't do it on that night. And I think that's helpful to take a break.
Yes,
but
we had
breathe.
To set that boundary to protect that time and almost fight off other things to protect that time. Another one was listen to him. He had been an executive, had people reporting to him, had board meetings to go to, and all those outlets were gone. And so he liked to talk a lot about what was going on. And there were times where I felt like we were talking about the same thing that we had talked about 20 times earlier that week. And I had to pray that God would really help me be a good listener, because he needed me and I wanted him to keep coming to me with what was on his mind. Number seven was give him quiet time at the house. We had little kids at the time and it was summer and they were out of school. And so I had to really coach and train our boys that daddy's home now. And as much as we want to rush in and see him and play with him, we've got to give him some time that he needs to work on his search. Number eight was make your home peaceful. Again, these were things that I had control over. I could make our home one where the laundry was done and the groceries were bought. And it wasn't this crazy mess of a home life that he was having to also deal with on top of the search. And so I really tried to stay on top of my household duties to create a calm place of refuge for him. And then number nine was look for ways to help him. And these are constructive ways and ways that a wife can maybe ask her husband what things might help. And then number 10, Lee mentioned this, is don't forget that his main job is his job search. A lot of friends that I've come across when their husbands husband was out of work, said, oh, he's home, so he's going to get the kids every day. He's going to watch them while I go play tennis and or scrapbook. And they totally forgot that it's nice having dad home, but you need dad finding the job. Not
Jen, that's really
him.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And doctor, we'll put that online so that everyone can access
that
again.
I'm sure that there'll be a lot of people listening to us who want to implement those. You really put some thought into that.
Well, again, by a lot of trial and error during your time.
You're good at it. You're good at that kind of support. Patty, did you find some of those same kind of things helpful?
Yes, I resonated with everything, Jen, that you were saying, and I think, you know, the encouragement is a big part of it, continuing to encourage and build him up and pray for him.
She was great at that. I mean, I knew, I think for me, I knew that because she believed in me, that on the days when I didn't believe in myself, which were many, she was the one that got me through them. And so in that, you know, she's not just my better half, she's my all. Mm-hmm. Because she filled me on days when I was completely empty of anything. And so she made it bearable. If nothing else, it was bearable to the point of knowing she wasn't disappointed in me, didn't judge me because of the circumstance. It wasn't circumstantial for her. Mm-hmm. It was just the way things were. But it didn't affect how she believed in me and how she treated me, and that was huge. That was everything for me. That was probably the only thing other than the grace of God that got me through that 20 months.
Oh, man.
Well, I appreciate that so much, and we know Patty and love her. I'm just thinking right now, maybe, Jen, you can speak to this, the woman who says, I've done it all wrong. I'm hearing you speak today, and I am so convicted. I have done everything you said not to do. Is it too late for me?
I don't think so. Not at all. I think you can look at what you've done, and just pray that God would show you what baby steps to take. What thing today can I start doing differently to encourage my husband?
Should you go to him and confess that even? I mean, would you?
I would. I would encourage a wife to go to her husband saying, honey, I realize this time has been hard, and I would like to be more supportive going forward. How does that look to you? And I think women have so much power in the words that they speak
That's
to their
really
husbands.
True.
And I think starting there, just with their speech, is something that can be huge.
You've got to understand that the male ego is very fragile.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's not. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes bravado and, you know, self-confidence, but underneath it there is this doubt about who you are and your ability to compete. Mm-hmm. That's what Shirley gave to me. Right from the wedding, practically, even before that, she made me believe that I could go out and compete. And I did. I went into a tough graduate school and all those things because she was behind me. We're really down to the end of this third program we've done on this subject, and I think it's been so good. If I do say so myself, I think it's been good. And we're going to take one more minute. Talk to the person out there that has gone through this unemployment saga and is really discouraged today. And there are no prospects and what seems like no hope, and God is not talking. And they have chased all the opportunities they thought were out there, and every door has been closed. Now I've used up your minutes. What do you want to say? Anybody have something particularly to encourage those folks?
The best thing I heard during the time was the phrase, you will work again. Mm-hmm. This is a momentary phase in your life. And Jennifer would always tell me to think about, would that matter to me in 10 years? And what would matter to me in 10 years are my children, my marriage, and the fact that I was being the best husband and father that I could be and a godly man. And as I went through that stress, if in 10 years I could look back on this time and have little boys and a wife that remembered daddy as a godly man through that, that was more important than whether we lost the house, I got a job below my means. I really needed to focus on caring about that, and you will work again.
Yeah, and don't buy the lie. I mean, the enemy's going to creep in. I mean, he's going to come busting through the door, actually, because you're vulnerable. So don't buy the lie that the enemy tells you that you're not worth anything, that you won't work again, because that's what I was listening to. And find some accountability partners. I have two dear friends, Steve and John, that I could call and meet for lunch when they could. And on the days that I'd be having, you know, pity party of one, they were right there to smack me around a bit and say, don't go there. You're better than that. And be that person saying you will work again. Mm-hmm. Find somebody that knows you well enough to be honest with you and not let you go into that, you know, pit of despair, and also can encourage you in a way to say, I know you're better than this. Don't go there. Don't be like that. Don't be so negative. Pull yourself up. And if you've got somebody like that, whether it's your spouse or dear friends, makes a huge, huge difference. So if you're that person that knows somebody unemployed, reach out to them. Call them once a week. Email them. Have lunch with them, because they're sitting at home thinking they've been forgotten about. Mm. And you could be that person that said, you're not forgotten about.
Ryan, you might not even know this story about my background, but I've been here too. Not in my relationship with Shirley, because we've been blessed right from the beginning. We had teaching contracts, and we just never really struggled a lot financially. But when I was 13 years of age, my father was an evangelist, and my dad's health broke. And with an evangelist, the salary does not go on.
Yeah.
When you're a pastor, they come in, they bring food, and they take care of you, and they look out for you and provide a little extra help. And if the church can provide a love offering, they do. An evangelist has nothing. When he doesn't work, he brings in nothing. And through Christmas and Thanksgiving and the summertime, he doesn't work anyway. And so here my dad's health broke, and there was no money. And we were riding in a car. I'm an only child. I'm 13 years old. I'm sitting in the back of the car. And the three of us began praying about needing a divine touch here. We don't know what we're going to do. And it was a scary time. And the Lord came in and filled that car. I'm telling you, I was only 13, but I could pray. And he filled the car. And shortly after that, we were talking about what we were going to do. And we had a friend, Lee, who was a home builder. And he began building inexpensive small houses for veterans coming back from World War II. And they could get them from FHA without down payment. And I think they only cost $4,000 or something. And he started building them by the hundreds, and came by one night and said to my mother, I'll bet that you could sell these, and I'll pay you $200 a house to sell them. She sold 8 of them in one day. I'm not kidding you. The Lord just came in and met our need at that time till my dad got well. And so I've been there too. And my heart does go out to those who are listening to us today, who have come to this radio today hoping for an answer. And the answer is faith. You just keep believing and just keep going. And we're out of time. Thank you all for being with us. This has been a wonderful program, three of them, in fact. And I just trust the Lord will continue to bless your homes and those of all those people out there that need a special touch today.
Thank you, Doctor.
And I hope you listening have received a blessing from this Family Talk broadcast today, as I have with our guests, Bo and Patty Henderson, and Lee and Jen Darnold. If you would like a complimentary CD copy of today's broadcast for yourself or anyone you know who is struggling with unemployment, please visit our website, drjamesdobson.org.
And Ryan, at that same website, we have posted what I think is a fabulous list for wives listening. It's called The Top 10 Ways You Can Encourage Your Husband Through a Job Transition. That actually was written by Jen Darnold, our guest today. She provides some great information on how you can help your man through this time of unemployment.
And we also have provided some beneficial career tools at drjamesdobson.org that will help job seekers network, receive adequate job coaching, and hopefully find a new job.
Well, there's no other way to say it, Ryan, the market's in a pit right now. There are millions of people who are doing everything they can to find a job, but they are still struggling. So to those of you who are still stressed by your unemployment situation and you're just desperate for some prayer and encouragement through this difficult time, Family Talk is here for you. Please give us a call.
We are here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our number is 877-732-6825. And we want to help you get through this transition in life because we know how hard it is out there. Again, the number, if you missed it, 877-732-6825.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Have a great weekend, but return on Monday as we are joined by pro-life activist Kristen Hawkins for an intense conversation about fighting to save the unborn. That is next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
See you then.
There are forces at work right now trying to shut down the National Day of Prayer. What they don't realize is you can't stop prayer. You can't stop Greg in Pittsburgh, or Joni in Mobile, or Mickey in Los Angeles, or TC in Colorado Springs. They may try to shut down the National Day of Prayer, but they can't stop us from praying. The National Day of Prayer is the first Thursday in May, but start praying for our nation today. Find out more at nationaldayofprayer.org.